I want to remind you too that you can give your tithes and your offerings and in the back there. So Father, I just bless the gift and the giver. Lord, I ask you to cause your face to shine upon them. Lord, to give them peace and fill them full of joy and to bless them indeed. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks and praise. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been doing a series called Gifts, Services, and the Way God Works. And really, the Lord kind of helped me to sum this up. God gives you gifts so that you can serve in a variety of ways, and you can see and experience the different ways God works to bring His will to pass. All right? So gifts, services, and the way God works. God gives you, say me, gifts. Now, can you earn a gift? No. A gift has two components to it. It is given and it must be received. All right? So God gives it. He gives you gifts or abilities or talents. And supernatural, you know, the Holy Spirit comes on you, so it's supernatural. And so that you can serve in a variety of ways, so that you can see and experience the different ways God works to bring His will to pass. All right? Aren't you glad that our God is not limited? He's got many ways that He can do things. Okay? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." God doesn't want you to be ignorant. He doesn't want you to be misinformed. He wants you to know these things. These things are important for the body of Christ. Okay? "You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand." Notice He gives us to understand. If you ever wonder about what God's doing, why He does it, you know, He'll show you. He'll tell you. You know, the secret things, those who believe in God get access to His secrets. "And I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." They're given to the body of Christ. And God wants His body to profit, to prosper, to increase, to grow. And verse 8, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." So it is the Holy Spirit who dispenses these gifts, all right? There are nine gifts. Anytime you see three and three in the Bible, three speaks of perfection. Three gifts, three categories of those gifts: power gifts, inspiring gifts or speaking gifts, and revealing gifts, okay? Power, speaking, and revealing. Three, three, three. That means it reflects the Trinity, it reflects God, that's perfect, okay? So, these nine gifts are more than sufficient to help the body for whatever the body needs, all right? This is like the multivitamin, the maximum multivitamin of the body, all right? And God, the Bible tells us to seek and desire the best gifts, and Pastor Fiona did a great job last week as I was away, so good to be back tonight, and she talked on about, you know, all these gifts honor God. Anytime that there's going to be a spiritual gift in operation, it's going to bring honor and glory to God. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll speak what the Father tells him to say. And he'll always magnify Jesus. All right? So when these gifts are in operation, every believer, say every believer, has access to these gifts. You don't have to be a pastor to have these spiritual gifts, although spiritual gifts accompany the office of a pastor. All right? But you, as a believer in Christ, you have access to these gifts. The Holy Spirit can operate these gifts through you. Sometimes you can have more than one in operation at the same time. Our God is so cool. We cannot multitask. I don't care what anybody says, but God can. We can't multitask well. All right? So there's these different gifts. I want to read to you something by Lester Sumrall. He's in heaven now, but his ministry still goes on. And he says, the greatest unused energy in the world today lies within the power, is the power that is within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest source of unused energy is not under the ground or under the sea, but it's right here in his church. That's pretty powerful. And he said, the power of God is invincible, and the gifts of the Spirit have been given to the church as weapons of our warfare. Okay? And he made this statement. When our Lord Jesus came to this earth to conquer it and redeem it, he functioned only within the framework of the gifts of the Spirit. He was a man who was anointed by the Holy Spirit. When he was on the earth, he didn't act as God. I mean, he didn't do things like God did. He did it as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, he is God, but that's another thing. So these gifts are important. And the gifts, this is also what he said, the gifts of the Spirit are divine communications transmitted from the Holy Trinity through the channel of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the earth. I'm going to say that one more time because that's a lot to digest, all right? So the gifts of the Spirit are divine communications transmitted from the Holy Trinity, from headquarters, all right? And it doesn't come via satellite. It comes by the Spirit network. And when your spirit is born again, your spirit is in tune with the Holy Spirit. Because when you're born again, the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. And it's transmitted through the Holy Trinity, through the channel of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the earth. And you as an individual, you're part of the body. Let me ask you something. If you were to take a vitamin B, would that just affect one part of your body? Or would your whole body benefit from what's in that vitamin? Okay? Well, same thing is true with the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These help you function. They help you serve. They help you do great things for God. And they're supernatural. They don't come by means of the physical senses. They're beyond the senses, okay? And the Holy Spirit operates them to build, to strengthen, to encourage, to edify his body. Spiritual gifts, they do the body good, okay? And we talked about, you know, the word of wisdom, which is a divine insight into God's plan. Word of knowledge is a revelation of an already known fact that may not be known to the person. And then We talked about the gift of faith. Pastor Fiona touched on that. And the gifts of healing, all right? Do you realize that there were certain times where people got healed just from touching? Woman with the issue of blood. Yeah, she had faith, but when she just touched the hem of his garment, what happened? Power went out. Just that touch activated the power of God. Sometimes when gifts of healing are in operation, all you need is a touch. All right? Go with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Just want to touch on this for a second. Mark chapter 16. And verse 18. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and pray, right? It just says they shall lay hands on the sick. Didn't say pray. Didn't say do anything else. It just says lay hands on. And what's going to happen? They recover. See, your body already heals itself. How many has ever been cut? Let me see that cut right now. What happened to that cut? Okay, so your body already heals, but there are times when your body needs a supernatural boost. You're struggling, something's in your body, and it's not working right. And the touch, gifts of healing, all you got to do is touch them, come in contact with it, and power is released. Okay? Gifts of healings. And you'll find sometimes that God uses certain people more in certain diseases. Some people are better, they have better results working with certain diseases than others. Because gifts of healing, and actually the Greek says healings. Now, I heard it said, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard it said that they can trace sickness from 39 sources. How many stripes did Jesus get on his back? 39. Whoa. Every source of sickness you have been redeemed from by the blood of Jesus. And as far as God goes, God wants you healed just as much as he wants you saved. People don't see it that way, though, sometimes, but it's true. God wants you healed just as much as he wants you saved. He wants you delivered. God doesn't want to see you in any bondage or in any box or in any hindrance or with any chains, because anytime God showed up and there were chains, the chains fell off or the prison doors opened. Amen? Because why? He was anointed to deliver. There's an anointing on him, okay? So we have the gifts of healing. And a lot of times people just laid hands on him. You know, Jesus, there was a leper that came to Jesus. And he said, I know that you can, but will you do it for me? Sometimes people don't question God's power, but they'll question whether or not they'll do it for me. Am I good enough? Do I deserve this? But you know what Jesus did while the leper was talking to him? He touched him. And he said, I will. Guess what? The leprosy was cleansed. Why do you think he touched him? That was probably a gift of healing in operation. All right, you've got to see, these gifts operate based on your relationship with the Lord. All right, so the closer you are to the Lord, the more closely you walk with him, the greater opportunity there is for these gifts to operate wherever and whenever. All right, these gifts are not just for this building. Actually, they did miracles Jesus had a beach ministry. He'd go teach in churches, but then he'd preach along the beach. I like that ministry. But so these gifts are for everyday use. Whenever you need a supernatural boost to solve a problem, to get a solution, to get an answer, to have power displayed, that's what these gifts are for. These gifts are for you because you're the body. They're precious. They're holy. Okay? They're powerful. They're potent. And there were crowds sometimes. Jesus went and they said as many as touched him were made whole. All they did was have to touch him. Woo! And they were starting to say, I feel good. No, no, no. All right, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I got to move on. My time is precious. My instructor in Bible school always used to say, time is of the essence. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And after gifts of healing, come to working of miracles. All right? This, the working of miracles, it's an effect. It's an operation working. It's active. It's efficient. It's effectual. That means it has power. Okay? It's mighty. It's active and operative. Okay? And that's the word for working. And then miracles is the word dunamis. It means ability, might, power, strength. All right? I like those words. How many like those words? Power words. So the word, the miracles, dunamis, power, dynamite. You know, dynamite. Explosive. Powerful. Okay? And, you know, it's where great workings of God's mighty power are on display. And the working of miracles, it gives you the abilities of power. All right? It's supernatural ability to do things. Okay? Jesus said that these signs will follow who? Believers. How many believers do we have in the house tonight? Be prepared for signs to follow you, not you following the signs. There's a difference. There's a lot of people that follow signs. Ooh, there's a sign. Ooh, there's a sign. No, the sign should be following you. There's a difference. You can, as a business owner, these gifts of the Holy Spirit will help you prosper. They'll help you make good business deals because there's no one that knows more about your transactions than the Holy Spirit. And he wants you to prosper, so he'll help you make the good. You'll get inside information that no one knows but you and him. So these signs, here are some of the miracles that Jesus did. He turned water into wine. That was his very first miracle. I don't know how long it takes for juice to become wine. Now, my brother-in-law's father in New Zealand, he made his own wine. He would use his own fruit, and he had his basement full of wine that he made. And the way he sounded, it was a bit of a process. It didn't happen in an instant. It didn't happen overnight, but there was a process involved. But Jesus instantly, supernaturally sped up the process, and he made water to become wine. That's a miracle. Now, there was a need. And his mother said, what are you going to do about it? And Jesus never responds to pressure. He said, woman, what is it to me? It's not my time. But then she went and told the servants, whatever he says, do it. Okay, I want you to fill these pots with water. Boy, this guy is crazy. We need wine, and he's telling us to fill this with water. I don't know what he's thinking. But by the time that they brought the water to the governor or to the host, it became wine, supernaturally. And so he turned water into wine. That's a miracle. Are you ready for a miracle? We serve a miracle-working God. He is not limited to time or anything. Anytime that he wants to interrupt the natural laws, he can. It's not normal for someone to walk on water, yet he did. And guess what? Peter did too. Because Jesus said this in John 14. The works that I do, you will do also. But greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. That means you're doing it by the same Spirit that he did it by. If you can do the same works that he did, it's the same Spirit that's doing the work through you. And greater works shall you do. Okay? So he walked on water. Peter caught an incredible amount of fish. You know it was an incredible amount because the fishermen were shocked. They were like blown away. You're talking about fish that almost sank two boats. And now these guys had fished all night long. Some of you are trying to work at getting a miracle. Oh, you've been working all night long. I've been doing all I know to do. But you know what? Miracles go beyond what you do. Jesus told Peter, he said, cast your net on the other side. He said, Master, I've toiled all night, but nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. And Peter was glad that he did it. Aren't you glad when you obey God? Listen, if you're not obeying God, you're missing out on a miracle. That simple act of obedience. Peter didn't know what was going to happen when he threw that. He thought he might catch a few fish. He was tired. And he threw that net in and he started pulling. He said, whoa, we got a big one here. And they started bringing this fish in. He had to signal to his other boat. That was a miracle. Because you know why? He let Jesus use his boat. You know what happened with the story? Jesus went down there and he was preaching. And the crowds were so thick that Jesus wanted to get into the boat so that he could cast off a little bit so he'd have a platform that he could preach. And he preached and Peter let him use his boat. See, when you let God into the areas of your life, he can do miracles. But it's when we keep him out that miracles don't happen. And so a great miracle happened, the working of miracles. All right? How'd you like to get bit by a poisonous snake and just shake it off? Paul is getting firewood to build a fire. And a viper comes and bites his hand. And everybody was like, this man must have committed great crime if that snake got onto him. And you know what? He just shook it off. And he kept building this fire. He didn't even have a harmful effect from a poisonous snake that bit him. That's a miracle. Working of miracles. Stephen performed miracles. Philip went down to Samaria, cast out devils, caused the lame to walk. He performed miracles. All right? Now let's go on. That's enough about miracles. Let's go on. After the working of miracles, it's the gift of prophecy. Okay? The gift of prophecy that is involved in prediction or telling of the future or making known one's thoughts, and it has to do with speaking and saying. The gift of prophecy is a gift that's used with your voice. You get a revelation of what God wants to say to a person, to a group, to a place, and then you have the courage to speak it out. And God then takes that word and he performs what he wants to do with that person or that place or that group. Okay? the basic definition of prophecy is inspired utterance. And just because someone prophesies, that doesn't necessarily make them a prophet. All right? A prophet is an office, and prophecy is what a prophet does. But the simple prophesying doesn't make it's the Lord wants to get a message to someone or to a group or to whatever. And he needs a voice. How many know that we're his hands, we're his feet, and we're also his voice? Okay? So the gift of prophecy, it's receiving the revealed word of God and declaring it boldly. A prophet is God's mouthpiece. All right? They speak for God. They're inspired, and sometimes they predict future events. Sometimes they declare God's divine will. Sometimes they interpret the purposes of God. Sometimes they make known in any way the truth of God. All right? And they influence people. All right? Go with me to Acts chapter 13. See, as the last days are unfolding, we're going to have to be connected with these spiritual gifts in a greater way. So we're going to have to know about them. We're going to have to be familiar with them so that when the Holy Spirit wants to operate them, we're good to go. We're ready. Amen? Because he doesn't want us to be misinformed. So Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So these guys were prophets and teachers. All right, they held these offices. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Who called them? The Lord. But see, there was an atmosphere, all right, where God could speak and he could reveal what he wanted to do. See, sometimes someone knows that they're called, you know, but then there's the recognition of their call, all right? This was a prophetic gift, okay? This was the gift of prophecy. Go with me to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. And verse 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke unto him. He was speaking to Moses. He took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. And then it says that they didn't do this again. All right? But for that moment, when the Spirit came on them, they were inspired to say what was on God's heart for that moment. Okay? Notice the Spirit, they didn't prophesy until the Spirit came on him. And it was the Lord who told them to do this. Okay? And as a result, it brought about a revelation of God's will, what he wanted to do. I don't know, the Bible doesn't record what they said, but it said that they prophesied. All right? They were speaking whatever revelation that God gave them. Now, these 70 were in positions to help Moses with all the things that he had to do with all the people in Israel. Okay? Go with me to Joel chapter 2. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy. Woo, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, now Lord, he's pouring the Spirit out, okay? And this is the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all the earth, all right? He wasn't just coming on the prophet, the priest, and the king now. Everybody had access to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, one of the first things they did was they prophesied. Speak under the inspiration. Reveal God's will. Reveal God's plan. Speak boldly. Hallelujah. God wants you to prophesy. Say, let's prophesy. And it was in conjunction with the Spirit. All right? Let's go down to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means it's not up to one person necessarily to prophesy Scripture or the interpretation of it. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Sometimes my teaching is prophetic because I say things that I didn't intend to say, but it's what God wants to deal with something, and there's things that I bring up that I had no intention of bringing up, but they just come out. That's a form of prophecy. All right, let's go on to the next gift. Discerning of spirits. Now that word discerning, it's the Greek word diakrisis, and it means judicial estimation, to discern, to separate thoroughly, to withdraw from, to decide, to distinguish, to contend. That's what the word means. And the discerning of spirits helps you discern secrets of the heart. It helps you discern what is right and what is not. How many know that's a good thing? When someone is giving you a story and it's not right, then the Holy Spirit can help you discern if that's right or not, because he knows. Okay? And you can know what's in a person's, their purpose, their views, and their feelings, how they feel about something. Okay? You can know whether or not someone is truly inspired or they're an imposter or they're posing. That's what God wanted to do to Balaam. The king wanted Balaam to curse Israel. And so the king paid him a lot of money to speak a curse over God's people. But every time he tried to curse, he couldn't, because God turns the curse into a blessing, because a curse causeless will not come. Okay? So the discerning of spirits, it gives you the ability to distinguish whether it's of God or whether it's of the devil. And how many know we need to know that? Because the devil is a deceiver, and only the Holy Spirit can read through the lines. All right? Go with me to Acts chapter 5. And verse 1. This was early in the church. Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the piece, part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. So they were in agreement to deceive. Listen, I don't care if your spouse wants you to deceive, say no. Don't be in agreement with deception. They brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? How did Peter know that? It was the Holy Ghost that was revealing the true motive of what they were doing. You know, it's better if you don't have the right motive not to do something than to do it with the wrong motive. All right? Because you could deceive people, but you're not going to deceive God. And this was early on in the church. And these two people, they agreed to deceive. All right? But thank God the gift of the discerning of spirits was in operation, and the Holy Ghost allowed Peter to see what the true motive was. Because he told him in verse 4, while it remained, was it not in your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. Now I want you to notice, Ananias and Sapphira didn't have a conversation with anybody but themselves. So they came up with this plot that they thought they were going to get away with, but they didn't. You know, when David, when he committed his sin, and one sin led to another sin with Bathsheba and her husband, and he thought he was free and clear. But God showed Nathan. And the way he revealed David's heart was he told him a story about this rich man having all these sheep and this one having this little lamb. And this little lamb was like part of their family, ate at their dinner table. And this rich person took this little lamb, and David said, that person should be killed. And Nathan said, you are that person. That was revealed to him by God to correct the situation. See, because, listen, God exposes sin because it's his mercy. He wants to show mercy. He wants to give grace. See, the Bible says, he who covers his sin will not prosper. But if you confess your sin, you receive forgiveness and cleansing. So it's better to get it out in the open. Okay? Go with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, this is discerning of spirits. It's giving you, it's the ability to distinguish what's going on inside a human spirit. Okay? Supernatural. Acts 16:16. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying or fortune telling. She had a 1-900 psychic number. Okay? Now, notice they were going to prayer, and this girl met them who was possessed with the devil. How come Paul didn't cast the devil out at this moment? Because he didn't know that there was a devil there. Verse 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto the way of salvation. Is that saying wrong? These men are the Most High God and they show us the way to salvation. Is that a wrong saying? No. Okay? But this person was following them, saying these things. Verse 18. And this did she many days. Many days. This tells me that Paul did not know that there was an evil spirit there, otherwise he would have dealt with it initially. Now the discerning of spirits are in operation. Okay? And the Holy Spirit reveals to him something. But Paul, being grieved or annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. But see, it was many days that she did this. She was saying the right thing. But what was behind the saying was evil. It was a demonic spirit. And Paul is wondering, there is something that's bothering me about what she's saying. You know, they'd be walking along and she'd be saying this, and Paul said, there's something bothering me. Then all of a sudden, his eyes were open and he saw, and he looked and he spoke right to the Spirit. Notice he didn't speak to the girl, he spoke to the Spirit, because now he realized, ooh, discerning of spirits showed him a picture that, hey, that's a devil. And when God shows you a devil, he gives you power to cast it out. And that spirit had to leave that girl on the command of Paul, because the discerning of spirit showed him that it was an evil spirit. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Let me give you a positive example of this gift. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit. You know that there's no distance in the Spirit? Joying and beholding your order, or your good discipline, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So Paul kind of had an inkling of the condition of the church at Colossae. Even though he physically wasn't there, he was there in spirit, and the Holy Spirit was showing him the good things that were happening. There's something good happening there, okay? So that's a discerning of, see, now the discerning of spirits is not just for evil. If you see an angel, that's a discerning of spirit. Because it shows you, it opens up the spiritual realm. And you could see the good and the bad. You could see Clint Eastwood, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay, it just simply opens your eyes to this, to what's happening in the spirit. All right? The woman at Samaria who had five husbands, and the guy that she was living with now wasn't her husband. When Jesus told her this, she perceived that he was a prophet. When he revealed God's will, she perceived that he was a person who speaks God's will. That was the discerning of spirit. What happened? She went and told everybody she knew, and half the town came out. They had to see it for themselves. Okay? But see, these gifts are so powerful. All right? They're so potent. And they're available to you as a believer to give you the supernatural boost when you need it, to edify, strengthen, build up the body. These precious gifts, they're operated as the Holy Spirit wills. They're so that everybody can profit with. You know, one of the shows that Gabriel watches is Lazy Town, and there's a character on there named Stingy. And he thinks everything in the town is his. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. That's mine, that's mine. But you know what? We can't take that attitude with the gifts. They're not ours. They're the Spirit's, but he wants to use you to get the gift out. All right? In essence, you're the box that the gift is placed in. And Jesus is the wrapper. And he gives the gifts out through you. You're the vessel. You're the mouthpiece. You're the mouthpiece. You're the hands. The gifts operate through you, the body. And we need to be sensitive to the gifts. We need to be ready to move when the gifts are in operation. And then the last two are diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues. Did you know that God is the greatest linguist there ever was? Tongues is simply the ability to speak in another language that you've never studied or learned. It's a supernatural endowment. And it could be an earthly language or it could be a heavenly language. And when you speak in an unknown tongue, you're speaking unto God. You know, Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than y'all. So if speaking in tongues was good for Paul, it ought to be good for us. Amen? Speaking in tongues, it does the body good. And there'll be times when you're inspired to speak in another language, and it might be a known language because someone might speak that language. And you giving them a message in their language might be the very thing they need to touch their heart. So supernaturally. And then the interpretation of it is similar to prophecy. Because when a tongue is interpreted, you know, we didn't learn that language. It's a different language, so we need the interpretation of it. And oftentimes, someone will give a message in tongues, and then shortly after, there'll be an interpretation of what was said, and it's to inspire, to bring comfort, strength, and encouragement to the body. All right? Because, listen, God wants the people edified. If I get up here and speak a message in tongues and there's no interpretation, you'd be like, what did he say? It wouldn't edify you. It would edify me because I'm the one speaking in tongues, but it wouldn't edify you. But God's goal is so that everybody gets edified. All right? It's like a public pool with no price. Everybody's welcome. You can all come in the water. You can all swim. There's no price. It's free. The price has already been paid. All right? Better than a public pool. It's God's personal pool, his mansion. And you can come and swim there anytime you want to. Okay? So these are the gifts and the services and the way God works. There's a variety. All right? The Billy Graham administration is administered differently than this church because the Billy Graham administration reaches more people. It requires greater administration. But the administrations are different, but it's the same God. Okay? And, you know, people operating the gifts of healing and prophecy, and no one is greater than the other. Because everyone is needed, and whatever's needed in the moment, that's what's needed the most. So, Father, we just give you thanks and praise. Lord, we are sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Father, we welcome, we expect, and we believe for the gifts to operate in this body, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, on our jobs, wherever we are. Father, we just give you thanks and praise. Lord, that you would operate these gifts through us. We yield ourselves to you, Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves to your presence. We yield. Oh, just stand up for a minute and just yield yourself to the Lord. Amen. Lift up your hands as an act of surrender and just yield yourself to God. Let God fill you. Let God touch you. Let God speak to you. Hallelujah. Oh, he wants to ignite good things through you. He wants to show you things to come. He wants to reveal his will to you. He wants you to do acts of power and miracles in the name of Jesus. He wants you to lay hands on the sick people and to see them recover. He just needs an outlet of his power. He has chosen you. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. You are called forth to show forth his glory. You've been called out of darkness and into his light, and he's equipped you with these gifts, these spiritual gifts, these perfect gifts, this communication system whereby he can communicate in the earth, whereby he can do great and mighty things. We are his body. We've got a work to do. You've been drafted on his team. You've been given the very best equipment that heaven has to offer. Turn your heart unto the Lord. Oh, we just turn our heart to you, Lord God. We just thank you, Father, for filling us full of your Holy Spirit and of your power and of your fire and of your glory, Father. In the name of Jesus, fill us that we may operate in these gifts. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your precious holy gifts that you give to the body. Oh, we just give you thanks and praise that there's an increase, there's an acceleration, there's a quickening in the operation of these gifts, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're going to use these gifts to win the lost. We're going to use these gifts to reach out to our family members, to our friends, in the name of Jesus. We're going to use these gifts. That's why you got to keep yourself stirred up. You got to keep yourself close to the Lord. You can't let anything interfere with your relationship with God. You need to bring your Bible. You need to read the Bible. You need to study it every day. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, come and get filled right now. God wants you to fill you. He doesn't want you empty. He wants you full. Hallelujah. I believe that you're going to show us what's right and what's wrong so that we can choose what's right. You're going to give us words of wisdom and words of knowledge and the gift of faith and the working of miracles and the discerning of spirits and prophecy and tongues and interpretation. These gifts belong to the body. They're given to the body. They operate through the body. So, Father, we just give you thanks and praise for an increase, an increase, an increase. It's time to quit playing church. Church is not a game. It's a matter of life and death. It's time that you get actively involved in what God wants you to do. There's no bench warmers in God's kingdom. Everybody has a place in the field. Everybody has a place where we're one body, one Lord, one God. There's one baptism into the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Let the oil of the Holy Spirit just flow down right now. Father, let the oil flow right now. In Jesus' name, let that oil, that fresh oil, oh, lubricate every part. Father, lubricate every part right now. Refresh, strengthen, and invigorate every part right now. Oh, Father, let your light shine on every part of the soul, Father, of people in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord God, for showing yourself strong to us, whose hearts are loyal to you. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, there's such a precious, sweet anointing. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just wait on the Lord for a minute. If anybody has something on their heart, trumpet of the Lord. Amen. Well, when they blew the trumpet, it was to gather the people. Different blasts would mean different things, and it's for the people to hear. When Saul blew the trumpet, he wanted the people to hear.
And the different blasts called them into different actions.
So God is blowing his trumpet. It's a call to action. It's a call to faith. If you've been wavering about faith, it's time to get in the boat. Don't have one foot in the water and one foot in the boat. So Elijah would say, if God is God, choose him, but if Baal is God, choose him. Don't be double-minded. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. So that's the gifts, the services, and the way God works. Go ahead and study this out. If you need to get the CDs, let the sound people know and they can have it ready for you next week. All right? And if you have your tithe or your offering, you go ahead and put it in. And have a blessed night.